Hi, I'm Josh McDowell. Welcome to the audio version of my book, The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers. According to the character Sir Lee Teabing, the Bible is not the inspired word of God. Rather, it's a conglomeration of revisions, translations, and additions. However, as we've discovered, his rather wild assertions tend to fall apart in the face of rock-solid evidence. Now we're going to take a look at the rest of his arguments against the authenticity of Scripture. Join us as we search out the truth behind the Gnostic Gospels and the formation of the book we have come to know as the Holy Bible.
The twist is this, Teabing said, talking faster now. Because Constantine upgraded Jesus' status almost 4 centuries after Jesus' death, thousands of documents already existed chronicling his life as a mortal man. To rewrite history books, Constantine knew he would need a bold stroke. From this sprang the most profound moment in Christian history. Teabing paused, eyeing Sophie. Constantine commissioned and financed a new Bible, which omitted those Gospels that spoke of Christ's human traits and embellished those Gospels that made him godlike. The earlier Gospels were outlawed, gathered up, and burned. The Da Vinci Code, page 234.
You're in a lot of trouble.
Why? What did I do?
Neither of us has slept since you gave us those books.
We have other things to do, you know, like my statistics course.
I'll have a tall latte.
Me too.
Make that 3.
I've got questions. Lots of them.
Well, like what?
This says that Constantine commissioned and financed a new Bible which omitted those Gospels that spoke of Christ's human traits and embellished those Gospels that made him godlike.
Right.
But it makes no sense if you read this Gospel of Thomas.
Why is that?
Listen, when the boy Jesus was 5 years of age and there had been a shower of rain which was now over, Jesus was playing with other Hebrew boys by a running stream, and the water running over the banks stood in little lakes. But the water instantly became clear and useful again, he having smote them only by his word, they readily obeyed him. Then he took from the bank the stream some soft clay and formed out of it 12 sparrows, and there were other boys playing with him. But a certain Jew, seeing the things which he was doing, namely his forming clay into the figures of sparrows on the Sabbath day, went presently away and told his father Joseph and said, "Behold, thy boy is playing by the riverside and has taken clay and formed it into 12 sparrows and profaneth the Sabbath." Then Joseph came to the place where he was, and when he saw him, called to him and said, "Why doest thou that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day?" Then Jesus, clapping together the palms of his hand, called to the sparrows and said to them, "Go, fly away, and while ye live, remember me." So the sparrows fled away, making a noise. That's how it starts.
Yeah, so?
If the whole idea was to promote the divinity of Jesus, you've got to wonder why this wasn't included in the New Testament.
Good point.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, at least the stuff you had to read made sense. I didn't understand half of what I had to read.
727.
It was just a collection of sayings, and most made no sense at all. Here, listen to this. Jesus said, "Blessed is the lion which the man shall eat, and the lion become man, and cursed is the man whom the lion shall eat, and the lion become man." What is that about?
Well, many scholars view the Gospel of Thomas as a Gnostic gospel. Gnosticism was a school of thought. Actually, more than one school of thought that sought salvation through secret knowledge. That may be why so much of the Gospel of Thomas seems cryptic. Do you think it reinforces what Teabing says in the Da Vinci Code?
I'm not sure. If I remember right, didn't Teabing or Langdon say that the secret agenda of the church was to devalue women and exalt men?
Yep, that was Langdon, back in the museum, remember?
"So dark the con of man, the church conned the world by devaluing the feminine," or something like that.
That's what I thought. And Chris, didn't you tell me that this Gospel of Thomas was one of the Nag Hammadi documents Constantine supposedly wanted to destroy?
Yes, according to Teabing.
Okay then, so I'm reading along and I get to the very end of the Gospel of Thomas, and here's what it says. "Simon Peter said to them, 'Let Mary go forth from among us, for women are not worthy of the life.' Jesus said, 'Behold, I shall lead her, that I may make her male, in order that she also may become a living spirit like you males. For every woman who makes herself male shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.'" So, I'm thinking the same thing Matt is. If what Teabing says is true, the Gospel of Thomas seems to be the last thing some anti-feminine conspirator would try to suppress.
Exactly. Especially since you won't find any statement even remotely like that in the New Testament itself.
So, If documents like these weren't excluded as part of some grand conspiracy, why were they excluded? And why were the other ones included?
Do you remember when I asked you which document you would trust more, the one written close to the events themselves or the one written much later?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, this is where your answer to that question becomes important, because that's a large part of the reason the New Testament contains four Gospels and not five or six or 80. You see, Teabing gives Robert and Sophie the impression that there were 80 different Gospels circulating around that were on a basically equal historical footing with each other. He speaks as though the most important difference between these various Gospels was whether they emphasized Jesus Christ's humanity or his divinity.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure about that claim anymore.
Yeah, as a historian, though, Teabing really ought to know better. There were far, far more critical considerations that went into certain books being accepted and others being rejected.
Like whether the document was written soon after the events themselves.
Exactly.
Andrea and Matt make a valid point. If the only Gospels that made it into the Bible were the ones that focused on the deity of Jesus and/or suppressed women, then why weren't the Gnostic texts included, since they definitely are, quote, off the charts in both categories? It simply doesn't make sense if you know what the Gnostic Gospels say. I think that's what Dan Brown was betting on. He makes many claims like this in the Da Vinci Code, claims that rely heavily on the reader's ignorance of the subject matter to sound credible. In our next episode, we'll dig further into the truth behind the history of the Bible. Until then, I'm Josh McDowell. Thanks for listening.
The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers, is produced by Campus Crusade for Christ.